Hello and welcome to Alchemy 101, the show that explores all avenues of transformation and aims to offer some nuggets of gold that can support us in living in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature, no matter how contrary that might seem, just like the nightingale, the bird that sings out in the dark. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and I am so pleased you could join me today. Positivity and creativity are the order of the day. Later, I'll be talking with my guest, Faye Edwards, a positive mindset expert and founder of the Positive Living Movement. Her story of transformation from always being tired and stressed to creating a life that works for her is one that I found inspiring. But first, a bit of creativity. The village where I live has an arts festival every year, which people visit from far and wide. There's always a fantastic range of both professional and amateur artists showing their work, and the villagers open up their homes as venues. It's a real community effort. One of the highlights this year was a needlework exhibition. Now, I love textiles, embroidery, tapestries, all that sort of thing. And I made a short video about it, as it struck me just how important creativity is for health. So here's an extract from that. You can check out the video on my website, thepracticalalchemist.uk. But for now, just have a listen to this. I loved that a young lad was playing the bagpipes outside the church tower as I walked past. Now, he might not have been much bigger than his bagpipes, but he certainly got everybody's attention, and in a positive way. Here he is.
Ah, it's festival time in the village, as you can hear. What a lovely little piper that is. What a fantastic sound. Well, I'm just heading off to one of the exhibitions that I went to earlier. I wanted to come back and do a bit of filming. And it's a wonderful exhibition of needlework and tapestry from the Weems School of Needlework, which is a very famous and very old needlework school. In fact, all the crown heads of Europe have had very special garments made for them or embroidered for them at the Weems School of Needlework. And I wanted to show you a little bit of that because it's kind of part of our Fife heritage here. And although this is the Pitt and Weem Arts Festival, Weems is a very old castle, old family name, and the tradition of the needlework school goes back ages. I think their archive goes back to the 16th century. And of course, creativity is really important for our well-being as well. And, you know, if you think that embroidery and tapestry is just for old ladies, I tell you, it's a fabulous meditation. Anybody can get into it. And you don't have to worry about being good at it. Anybody can do it. And, of course, if you want to buy a kit, you can do so from the Weems School of Needlework. They've got a whole load of them there. Go on, give it a go. Give it a try. So, I'm just walking down to the harbour now where there are even more things going on, and I've got to be careful going down these steps. I'm just going to hold on to the railing in case. There's the clock tower bell going. But I'm just walking down to the harbour and just thinking about creativity. I love the buzz in the village during the arts festival. Some things annoy me, like the parking scenarios, but in other words, not being able to. But I do love the buzz and the creativity, and I love seeing what everybody's been doing. And of course, creativity is a huge part of well-being. If we're not letting out our creativity, we're not being our full selves, we're not being our true selves. And holding that back really doesn't help us. It sort of you can feel it in your body, there's a constriction. And that can eventually, if we're not being true to our nature and allowing our creativity to come out, that can create issues with our health. So have a think about what it might be that you're not allowing yourself to do that would be expressing your true nature. And, you know, a lot of people say, yeah, but I'm not very creative. Well, you are. Everybody is. Everybody has a real creativity inside them. It's just a question of letting it out and not being afraid to let it out. Stop thinking about what will people say. Stop thinking about, you know, I'm not as good as. Who says you're not as good as somebody else? Who says that what you do, your unique talent, isn't going to really fuel your well-being and a fantastic and beautiful life? I'm just by somewhere which is quite interesting. St. Fillan's Cave is a cave in the village here in Pittenween, where a monk, I think it was in the 7th century, used to live. He was an early Christian monk, St. Fillan, and he just used to sit in there writing. But apparently he had a glowing arm which lit his pages while he wrote. And so we're heading down here now to the shore. And another part of well-being, of course, is what we eat. And this is a fishing village. And of course, fish is excellent for our health. Different kinds of fish are very, very good for us in different ways. Some have more omega fatty acids than others. But if you're listening to this on my radio show, keep listening, because I'm going to tell you a little bit about the properties of different kinds of fish right now.
So did you know that fish is a good food for the brain and has a reputation for enhancing creativity? But it's also good for weight loss. And in his book, Eat to Beat Your Diet, Dr. William Lee explains the correlation between seafood and body fat. Now, mostly fish is so good for us because of the omega-3 fatty acids that we find in the flesh, but also in the skin and the roe or the fish eggs. Think about caviar, well, maybe more cod roe and botarga, things like that. So the omega-3 fatty acids come from the phytoplankton that the small fish eat. And then the higher up the fish food chain you go, the more omega-3s you find. Dr. Lee says when it comes to helping you fight body fat, omega-3s in seafood are like a Swiss army knife in that they have a host of different uses. They can cause harmful white fat to become useful brown fat, for instance, by increasing your metabolism. And they reduce inflammation associated with excess fat. Eating fish containing omega-3s can also help you lose body fat. A study by researchers at the University of Iceland carried out an 8-week weight loss trial where they put everyone on a calorie-controlled diet, but some were eating fish or fish oils and others were eating no fish at all. And the study showed that the fish eaters lost more weight than the non-fish eaters. And of course, salmon, a fish that's high in omega-3s, was way up there, as you might expect. But cod was also pretty effective too. Everyone who took part in the study lost weight, but the people who ate cod 5 times a week lost nearly 4 pounds, around 1.8 kilos more than the no fish eating group. And their high blood pressure came down significantly. Before you get too excited though, remember this was a calorie controlled diet that they were on, and we're not talking takeaways from the local chippy. Another factor in weight loss is exercise, so no couch potatoes tucking into their fish either. So while we're always encouraged to eat more oily fish like salmon and mackerel and sardines, don't think they're the only fish that will do you good. Whitefish and shellfish will work for you too. And if you're saying to yourself, well, that's all very well, but what about vegans and vegetarians? Well, that's easy. reach for some seaweed. I have a load of dried seaweed in my kitchen cupboards and I love it. You can add seaweed to all sorts of dishes, and some varieties you can even eat as the main ingredient, like sea spaghetti or sea lettuce. But you know, you can find dry seaweed in most shops, supermarkets particularly these days, or health food shops, places like that, delicatessens. So it's quite easy to lay your hands on a bit of seaweed if you are a vegetarian or vegan. Now, Dr. Lee goes into much more detail in Eat to Beat Your Diet, and if you want to hear him talking generally about food and health, he and I recorded a couple of shows a while back, and you can check them out at ukhealthradio.com. Don't do that right away, though. Stay with me for now, because after this short break, I'll be speaking with the positive force that is Faye Edwards. Listen to her talking about how positivity can transform your life right after this.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears. Beef and Skittles. Cider with Rosie. Common or garden. Ant and deck. Fish and chips. Mum and Dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 here on UK Health Radio with me, JJ Stenhouse, the Practical Alchemist, and we move from creativity to positivity with my guest, Faye Edwards. Faye is a positive mindset coach and the founder of the Positive Living Movement. She's also a property investor, an author, a podcast host, and a motivational speaker. She's the author of a book about, well, positivity that came out earlier this year and which was an immediate bestseller. I started off our chat by asking her to tell us more about it.
Yes, it is. It's the Little Book of Positivity, a first aid kit for your well-being. And as a positive psychology coach, you know, I work with people all the time. And my mission is to let people know how simple it is to introduce basic techniques and tools and exercises into everyday life to support yourselves to feel better. And because so much of psychology and that kind of thing is really complicated, it's scientific, it's data driven, some of the stuff that I read and I work with is just mind boggling. And after a couple of hours reading, you feel like your brain wants to explode. There's quantum physics and dynamics, and there's so much scientific information. So I intentionally wanted to write this in a way that made it completely accessible, even aiming at children at my children's age, so 10, 11, 12, it's written very conversationally, and it means that it's completely accessible for anybody who just wants to find out really, really simple things that they can do to support themselves. So it's split into 7 chapters, each of those focusing on different areas in our lives. And then each of those chapters contain an exercise or an intervention, and then anecdotal examples from me, how I've used them in my life.
Well, that sounds great. And I love the fact that you have aimed it at, you know, so even 11-year-olds can read it and get something out of it. I think that's fantastic, because so much of what we're being told these days can be hidden behind this psychobabble wall. And, you know, you can sit and read, we were talking before we started recording, you know, can sit and read stuff and just go, what? What does that mean, really? So that's great. Now, tell me a little bit more about the kind of thing that you're helping people with. So you're talking about it being a first aid kit for well-being. How does that work?
In my line of work, and what I love about positive psychology is that it is a science, that everything is peer-reviewed, data-tested. You know, the stats are there. There are universities all over the world that are testing the interventions and the exercises and the tools. That means that we know that they work. The evidence is clear. And that's also what makes it really complicated because of the level of science that's behind it. And in my work, I work with, as a coach and as a mentor, I work with so many people who are, on the face of it, incredibly successful. They've got a lovely family, great house, supposedly successful, satisfying career, and yet they're not happy. There is this huge hole in their life where just normal happiness should be. And they're also tired, stressed. They often drink too much. You know, they're always chasing their tail. And they're the kind, and they also feel quite ashamed because they know they feel like they should be really happy with their lot and they can't work out why they're not. And usually, or the main cause is because they're completely out of alignment with their values and their purpose. And they have no idea how to find out what their values or their purpose is. So we use really, really basic, sometimes more complex, but there's so many basic techniques that we can use to start working through those things. So the book itself is split into, like I said, 7 different chapters. There's calm, focus, mood booster, relationships, fun, which is the last chapter. And so many adults, when you say to them, when did you last have fun, just have this like blank expression, and they kind of go, fun? What do you mean fun? I'm a very responsible, important adult. I've got no time for fun. And they don't realize that is so fundamental to human well-being.
Yeah, it's very common, isn't it, for people to think that when you're an adult, you have to become an adult and act like an adult. However an adult's supposed to act, I don't know, because I don't think I've ever acted like an adult is supposed to act. But there is this conception, isn't there? Or concept, rather. And so tell me a little bit more about then. So people are unhappy, but this impacts their health as well, doesn't it?
It hugely. So one of the main things, yeah, that they come with is this lack of satisfaction, this unhappiness. But the knock-on effect of that is then they're lacking in energy, therefore they don't exercise because they're feeling grouchy and slouchy. Therefore, they don't feel great about themselves. So their self-esteem drops, with their self-esteem drops, so they don't eat healthily. And there's this spiral where just one thing knocks onto everything else. And thankfully, you know, we are good these days at talking about well-being, self-care, you know, all these buzzwords. Loads of people don't really understand what they mean, but the fact that they're in modern vernacular means that it often triggers a point in somebody that goes, I think I can actually do something here. You know, sometimes it is a rock bottom moment, but sometimes it's just, or it's a family member or a partner saying, look, you are a total grump. You need to do something about this. And so that's what drives people to say, you know, I think there's something I can do. And then we work out what area it is that they need to work on. So for some people, it can be absolutely as simple as being grateful for what they've got. Another thing can be really understanding the importance of their relationships. So one of the biggest well-being studies ever undertaken, it's still ongoing 90 years in, it's absolute resounding finding every single cohort, every single time, it's followed the same family for 90 years, the same families for a few generations, is relationships. And post-COVID, with devices, phones, iPads, everything else, the one thing that is really falling away in people's lives is their close relationships. And then that then starts again, this downward spiral. And so it's just about working through with people how they can identify where their weak points are, and or where the points where things are slipping, what they can do to support that, and then stacking the rest of the good habits and the things on top of it.
So what would you suggest? I mean, COVID and lockdown really caused a lot of problems, and a lot of people have been suffering with their mental health as a result of that. Now, still suffering. I know personally some people who still find it difficult, you know, such a long time after lockdown was lifted. So what are the kinds of things that you suggest people do to lift themselves out of this?
On a very basic level, there are, my list is always the same, and that is sleep, exercise, outdoors, water, connection, and nutrition. So right. It might sound a lot, but all it is sleep well, move, eat well, talk to your loved ones. And so we then work out what that might look like. And sleep is really, really fundamental. It, you know, everybody knows that when you're tired, that's a gateway for things to start going wrong. And one of the things that I work on with people is called a sleep reset. And it's painful to begin with. It really is.
Oh, I don't like the sound of that.
It always involves a month of no alcohol because...
Oh, well, I'm okay with that.
Alcohol interrupts your sleep so much, you know, disconnects you from your circadian rhythm or your natural rhythms that you can't do a sleep reset with that in there. In fact, and this is something that resonates with so many people, most of the time when people do drink one glass, half a glass of wine in the evening or more, they'll wake up at 3:30 and then do not sleep properly after that. They then nod off just before they need to get up. And that, you know, that's a horrible cycle to be in. So we start with a month of no alcohol and then a set wake-up time every single day, even if you really don't feel like it, even if it's painful. So that will differ from person to person. It might be 6:30, it might be 5:30, it might be 7:30, you know, it depends, but it's set. Then you combine that with 3 to 4 litres of water, an hour of movement and an hour outdoors. So that can be a walk outside, because then you tick both of those boxes. A commitment to fresh food, so something fresh with two of the meals, and then a commitment to connect with somebody every day. And that's like a really basic recipe. And in my own data collection, that has 100% success rate with every single person that I have worked with. So you then combine that with something else really simple, which three good things is a gratitude exercise. As soon as you wake up, you think of three things you're grateful for. And before you go to sleep, you think of three good things that happened that day. And that is consistent day in, day out, and no shame if we do forget or if it doesn't happen. And that's what I kind of, that's the forms the basis of our well-being kind of jumpstart.
Well, I can really see how that would jumpstart you and help you to get back on track and feel well again. And I'm curious, when you talk about connection, do you mean actual personal connection, or are we talking about talking on Zoom like we're doing right now?
Yeah, no, it can take any form. It can take, particularly with people who might have social anxiety. But our relationships are so fundamental to our well-being. And we also do a thing called the gravestone exercise. And quite a lot of the study that I've been referring to focuses on people's deathbed, you know, memories, snippets. And so all of those things feed into relationships. There are some hilarious stats. Happily married men live 12 years longer.
Wow.
Men and happily married women live 7 years longer than single women. Like, you know, they are data driven facts.
Yeah.
But what it broader than that, it is our daily connection. So a lot of the time, who would you call if something awful happened in the next half an hour? Who have you got to call that you are comfortable asking for help? So many people don't have anyone. Oh, I don't really want to bother them, or, you know, they might be a bit busy and they've got family and children, and we all, you know, we all fundamentally need those connections, but for all the reasons we step away from them, and we step away from them. How many times do you go to a family event or a family meal and afterwards everyone's like, why don't we do this more often? This was brilliant. In spite of, you know, arguments, disagreements, rows, that actual getting together. So connection can take the form of a text message, you know, a phone call, knocking on your neighbor's door and taking them a plant, whatever it might be, just intentional connection that you wouldn't have been doing otherwise. And then so doing that consistently. So I often say, you know, I've got a couple of friends that I speak to twice a year. So when someone says to me, who are you going to connect? I'm like, oh, yes, Claire and Kirsty. Brilliant. You know, and so it's just, you know, really, really working into that and connecting and understanding that we are that relationship to other people as well. There's a brilliant example from the study as well of that older people don't want to bother their children, their grown-up children or grandchildren, because they're busy, they've got things on. And the grown-up children and grandchildren said, oh, the grandparents aren't really interested in seeing us, you know. So there's this huge disconnect between the complete communication failure, where both sides are assuming something, and actually when they do get together, you know, you get all of that benefits of the connection.
Yes, it's too easy, isn't it, to assume that the other person's going to be too busy, or that they're, you know, just they're getting on fine without you. They don't need you to bother them. You know, they're doing fine. Just leave them to get on with it. Whereas, in fact, you probably find that they would welcome the connection. They would welcome the initiative.
I can't tell you how often I hear that. You know, oh, they don't need to be bothered with me. They don't need, and it's like we've got to strip this back, because that, no, you know, everybody wants it in some form. It might not be all the time, but in some form or another, everybody wants to hear from the people they loved. And there's a kind of martyrdom to it as well. Yes. You know, they don't need me around, they're fine without me. And it's like, yeah, but they actually would like to. And this coupled with devices and scrolling culture, you know, one of the most unhelpful things I see all the time at the moment is this idea of go easy on yourself, you know, give yourself a break. And we all know where it's coming from, but quite often that's interpreted as an opportunity to just sit on the sofa, not go anywhere, scroll, or to pull the duvet back over your head. And again, it's scientifically proven that staying in bed when you're not feel great is actually the worst thing you can do. The best thing you can do is push yourself, put your feet on the floor, get your shoes on and get outside. It doesn't yep. cost anything, you know, if your legs work or if they don't, in whatever way you can. And there's this really fine balance. Of course, we have to go easy on ourselves. But where does that stop and turn into like radical nothingness?
Yeah.
Combined with how many hours and hours people can scroll on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, whichever platform it may be, that eats our time. And the vast majority of studies so far show that people feel awful after they've done that, after they've scrolled and scrolled for hours, you know, whereas having gone out for a walk, lunch with a friend, you know, whatever the activity, because it's an activity might be, you always report a boost in, you know, happiness and contentedness and, you know, all those kind of things. So it's a really stark contrast. And yet that's what I'm saying, that my issue with this take it easy on yourself, have a duvet day, actually isn't really feeding into what people generally need.
Yes, well, we'll hear more about that in a moment, as it's time to take another short break. I'll be back with more from my guest Faye Edwards right after these messages from our station sponsors.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living. We've been doing this for over 40 years. Every year, more and more people are living satisfying lives completely cruelty-free. Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio station. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and my guest today is the positive mindset coach, Faye Edwards. Now, before the break, Faye was making the point that sometimes taking a duvet day isn't really what we need. That got me thinking. I mean, there must be many people around who are saying, yeah, but you know, sometimes I just need that. Sometimes I just need to just have a duvet day and just rest and just get over stuff. It's all too easy to fall into that trap and not just get up and get some fresh air for a start into your lungs, if you live somewhere where you can get fresh air, and have a walk in nature. For me, that's always the answer. Go for a walk in nature or go for a swim in nature. It does you the power of good. And I think that was one of the positives to come out of lockdown, was that people started walking and swimming. But then I have noticed it's tailed off a bit since everybody went back to work.
It was a certain demographic that did that. You know, it wasn't, you know, the real crisis demographic at the moment is early 20s.
Yeah.
You know, and they have grown up with this, you know, with the device in their face. And that's how they measure themselves. That's how, you know, they motivate themselves. That's how they identify. That's how they define themselves. And, you know, and those of us who are older, you know, we're still spend loads of time on social media, whatever it might be. But for that demographic, especially because those of us who understand more, we don't really understand what it feels like to be them either. And it's very easy to, you know, undervalue how much impact that has. It's lots of the studies as well recognize that loneliness is the biggest killer, and that's why connection, human connection, albeit in a phone call or a Zoom or whatever it might be, but actual real connection is so important. And because the more we step away from it, the less familiar we become with it. And, you know, and as soon as you're lonely again, you're in this spiral of I'm not really going anywhere because I've got no one to go with. And then I'm not going to eat as well because what's the point? Because I don't feel great. And then I'm not feeling as healthy. And so loneliness leads to, you know, cholesterol, high blood pressure, joint problems, inactivity. And so yes, it's a balance about saying we do have to take it easy on ourselves and not put pressure, while also really staying true to the things that we need. It's only this in the last couple of months that it's officially been declared that due to the inactivity of the general population, we all have to take intentional activity every day just to stay healthy.
Yes, I absolutely believe that that is true. And we obviously have the science to back that up now. But yes. And it doesn't have to be a huge amount, though, of activity, but you do need to get your heart moving, your heart sort of working out, the bit of cardio going on, to make sure that everything's, you know, ticking over, literally. But I mean, you don't have to go for a hike in the mountains every day, right?
God, no, like, you know, a walk around the block is plenty for most people. But it just goes to show how inactive we are as a society, due to our jobs, due to the, you know, desk work, due to working from home, even. Yeah. You know, that's a great thing, but you don't then have to walk to the train station, to the office at lunchtime or whatever. You know, some people can be at their desk in their house for days on end.
Yes.
You know, we've got to be a bit realistic here. And, you know, we're obviously not all farmers or, you know, agricultural workers like we once were. And those are actually those people who are now some of the healthiest people in society, even if the rest of their lifestyle isn't particularly healthy.
Exactly.
Because they're so mobile in their job, you know, really supporting themselves. And the rest of us, you know, the incidence of things like arthritis, early onset is huge. Because we're not, I saw a brilliant clip a couple of days ago, and it was this girl going, I've got some really bad news. If you get up really early, do yoga, go swimming, walk, meditate, and eat really healthily, it makes you feel amazing. And it was like, you know, as if the rest of us have just so far removed from what we know to be true.
Yeah, Yeah. And I always remember when I moved away from London, while I was in London, I didn't bother having a car because I got so sick of trying to find somewhere to park the things. I wasn't taking it anywhere, no point in having it, right? So I didn't have a car. So I would get the tube or the buses everywhere. So you'd find yourself walking a lot in London. So it was either walking or getting the tube. And then to get on the tube, you have to get down to the tube platform and, you know, running up and down the escalators, that sort of thing. As soon as I moved out of London and had to get a car again, I realized how unhealthy living in the countryside can be.
You wouldn't think it, would you? Yeah. Because you jump in the car, you have to drive because everywhere's so far apart.
Correct. Yeah.
So again, we're back to this level of intention. You know, we know how important to be intentionally connecting with the people we know and love, intentionally taking the exercise, intentionally drinking the water, intentionally, you know, and it sounds, I remember when I first started my personal growth journey in kind of 2016, 2017, I had my own breakdown, epiphany, whatever it might look like. And I was like, oh God, you know, this sounds so restrictive and disciplined. It must be awful. And it's only when you actually go, okay, yeah, by being disciplined, I feel amazing.
Yeah.
And discipline doesn't have to be restrictive. It's like the passport. What's that phrase? From discipline comes the greatest freedom.
Oh, yes. No, I haven't heard that for a while. Yes. No, that is, yeah, true. And you know, if you are maybe a bit reluctant to head off and do something on your own, find somebody to do it with you. And so that's also part of that social aspect as well. So find people, if you can, who will take part in the same kind of activities that you like, that you enjoy. So go for a walk with someone, right? Or, exactly. Or go and get a game of tennis or something somewhere, or, you know, or anything really.
Tennis is my thing. Yeah.
Oh, is it? Oh, well,
and
yeah.
That's another thing. So also one of the important things, so positive psychology itself is split into six pillars. And they focus on the six things that support our, it's a science of well-being, that's what positive psychology is called, and one of them is positive emotions and engagement, both of those. And to achieve those things, we have to get into a flow state. Flow is an official scientific brain state whereby you lose track of time. You're completely focused on what you're doing. So sometimes that can happen in your work, if you're a writer, say, or an artist, but it also often happens in sport and team sports particularly. You have to be in that moment. So netball is one that comes up. Loads of my clients are women, nearly all of them. But netball is something that comes in time and again.
Gosh.
Where people say, oh, that's when I'm in flow. You have to be, because there's a ball flying at you every time. And so you can't drift off. You've got to be absolutely on it. And that's so, to get into that flow state is so good for our brains, because it's like having a brain workout at the same time as having your physical workout.
And there's also that, I mean, I haven't played netball since I was at school, and that was a long time ago, I can tell you. But there's also that aspect of coordination as well, isn't there? And it's, you know, the different bits of your brain being used as well. And then the physical activity is really good for you.
It's huge. And you can almost see everything sparking, can't you? It's energized, it's been activated, it's come alive. You know, yeah, you have to be part of a team, you have to communicate, you have to show up, you know, especially if you're in a team, then, you know, you've got a responsibility. So lots of things that we do in teams activates this connection thing as well. So choir is another one. You know, loads of people, if you don't feel like an active person and you're sitting here listening going, oh my God, the likelihood of me playing netball or tennis is zero, choir is amazing, because you're part of a collective. And to create a collective sound with other people, you know, you're energetically via sound waves connected. And so again, while you're singing a song, you're massively in flow, because you can't be thinking about the dishwasher, the overdraft, or whatever else it might be. You have to be in that moment.
Yeah. And I absolutely loved being in a choir. I haven't been in a choir again since I was at school, but I have toyed with the idea of joining a choir. I have no idea what my voice is like these days, really, but I have toyed with the idea of joining a choir again because of the positive benefits of that, not least from just allowing your voice to be heard, letting your voice out there. As I say, no idea what my singing voice is like these days, though. So it might.
Well, there are loads and loads of choirs now because it's been so widely recognised how good it is for our sense of community, belonging. You know, belonging is huge, huge part of well-being, but also connection, socialising, commitment, having a responsibility. You know, so choirs are quite good, and loads of them are like, we're all welcome. And the way that the music's written, the way that the parts are written mean that you don't have to be a great singer. You don't even have to be a good singer, but you can still be involved. And it, you know, it's really brilliant because rock choir, for example, is a great example. You know, that is this gathering of loads of people there for the same reasons, singing songs that they love, making other people happy by listening to those songs. There's a bit in my book specifically, so I'm a big singer, and mine's classical choral, but there's quite a lot in there about that sense of belonging and shared creation. That on a Monday night in the winter, when the wind's howling and the rain's pouring and it's all dark and it's so warm in your home and your sofa's really comfy, but that feeling is enough to get you out there and you don't really want to go and you get all windswept, and then by the end of it, you're like, I'm so glad I came, you know. And that's that thing where we push through the feeling of, I don't really want to, because once you know how good it feels afterwards, that's just enough to drive you to get there. So you get that feeling at the end.
It's so interesting because that's a saying that I hear so often when I go for a swim. I go for a swim virtually every day, and I mostly go with people. And sometimes if it's, you know, yeah, you get up, it's like the weekend, you get up in the morning and you just think, well, it's looking a bit grey out there, or but you go because people are expecting you. You know, there's no excuse. You can't say, oh, well, I won't go today, because then people will be saying, so, you know, what's up with you then? What's going on with you? And you have to explain, just didn't feel like it. That doesn't wash, if you'll excuse the pun, with my swimming buddies. So we get in there, and honestly, to a man and a woman, somebody, you know, we'll all say, oh, that felt so amazing. I'm so glad I came. Without fail, you know, so glad I came, because the feeling is fantastic. And as people who listen to this show regularly will know, it's part of my well-being regime, but it's not even a well-being regime. It's just fun.
Oh, and so then it fulfills two criteria, you know. And so accomplishment is another one of the pillars of positive psychology. So when we feel accomplished, that is a huge, huge boost to all of the well-being hormones, all of the endorphins and everything within us. And being accomplished doesn't have to be anything big. It can be going from that feeling of, I don't really want to go, to whoop, 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 I did it, I showed up. That is accomplishment in itself.
Yeah.
And so then you're, each time, if you do that every day, you know, you're feeding in. That there's no surprise that, you know, when you go and watch a marathon, say, and, you know, there's loads of people running, and then someone will go, oh, granddad! And you see this, you know, 82-year-old, you know, they're not made of anything different from the rest of us. They're really, really not. And that whether they're in a running club, you know, or whether it became, so many people take up running. That's, if that's their thing, that's their daily well-being routine. Like you, it might just be because they love it. You know, yeah. It might be, they might have started out hating it and then went, oh my gosh, you know, I get this mental clarity when I'm doing it. It's brilliant. So whatever it is for the individuals, it might not be choir, it might not be swimming, it might be a knitting club, you know, at least, and maybe you might walk to the knitting club to get the activity in as well. But all of these things take us to push ourselves. You know, we have to get there and do it. And that's I think that's the nub that what I was getting at earlier on is, There is a certain amount of pushing ourselves that's required. It's not in a, you know, extreme, you know, self-deprecating thing. It is just pushing a little bit to get to the really, really good feeling.
Yes. And as you were talking, I was reminded of a case in point a couple of weeks ago where I'm joint vice chair of a vice president of a business club. And we had organised a summer thing for members. And being not far from St Andrews, it was a round of putting on the Himalayas putting green. Now, this is a very old putting green, 18 holes with lots of little mounds and difficult bits. So you have to actually think as you're going around it. So it's not like crazy golf. It's actually quite challenging. Now, I hadn't picked up a golf club in 20 years. And I'd always moved away from golf because so many people that I know played it. And I was always the contrary one who said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do something else. Anyway, it was a lovely social event. The weather was gorgeous and it was just so much fun. I was taken aback because I tell you what was so fun about it is because we had to actually think as we were going round. So it's not just a question of hitting a ball with a putter with a golf club. It's how do I get over that hump there in order to get it into the hole? It was a really good brain workout apart from anything else.
Problem solving.
And I thoroughly enjoyed it, much to my surprise. So all these things, you know, but it's all keeping you healthy. And
we tell ourselves a whole range of stories, don't we? You know, yours was, I don't like golf. I don't play golf. It's not my thing. You know, and we all have these records and records of stories that we tell ourselves all the time. I don't like flying. I don't want to go abroad. Mm. You know, I don't like crowds. There are a million stories that we tell ourselves that are actually so often cutting us off from things that we would enjoy, that we believe our own stories.
Yes, we do. And I've got a horrible feeling that I might even take up golf at some stage. But no, just watch this space on that one. I'm not sure about that one. The putting, I'll go back to the putting green. So it's been fantastic speaking to you today. Now, remind us again of the book and where people can find out more about you.
So the book is The Little Book of Positivity, A First Aid Kit for Your Wellbeing. And it's available on Amazon and all of the other book selling places as well. There's also an audio book. And I really like the audio book because the book itself was written as if I'm speaking to you, the audiobook is actually me speaking to you.
I was going to ask you, is it you? Great. Well done, you.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I loved it. Like that is my zone of fun, being in a recording studio.
Brilliant.
Sure, my own voice. And my website is www.fayedwards.co.uk. Edwards has an extra E before the S. Same name on Facebook, where I'm most active, and Instagram as well. And I work with people in a variety of ways. So I hold regular group courses. Some of them are really, really basic entry level, as in you just want to find out a little bit more about how to be positive. And that's quite interesting, actually, because people often book their family members onto those course going, oh, that's just right for so-and-so. They could do with that. And then I work with people one-to-one. I also work with corporates. So I go into business organizations and show their, you know, their HR departments or the teams themselves, how they can incorporate positivity into their ways of working and communicating with each other. I'm pretty much all over socials generally often.
Love it. I love it. Thank you. And your energy is just fantastic. So thank you very much for bringing that to the show. If anybody is interested, get in touch with Faye, get yourself sorted out, and it can be fun. Life can be fun, and being healthy can be fun, can't it?
And I love that. What a brilliant, brilliant thing. It's that simple. None of this stuff is hard or horrible. All it is leading to is fun and laughing and happiness and feeling amazing. And you know, that's what it comes down to.
Faye Edwards ending on a positively joyous note there. But sadly, we're at the end of the show. I hope there was a nugget or two in there for you. Remember, you can listen to all of our shows on all the main podcast platforms these days. And if you like what you hear, or if they've helped you, do help us spread the word by sharing them. You never know, it might be just what someone you know needs to hear. Also, if you haven't already, do check out the show I co-host with Dr. Mark Goulston. He's a psychiatrist and coach. The show's called Hurt Less, Live More here on UK Health Radio. And Mark and I share experiences, anecdotes and wisdom with some great guests as well, who've had the courage to feel into their feelings and do some healing. Thank you for listening today. Do head over to my website, it's thepracticalalchemist.uk, to find out more. You'll find the video I did about my visit to the exhibition from the Weems School of Needlework, and you'll find much more in my blog there about all sorts of other different aspects of staying healthy and well the natural way. You can subscribe to my newsletter to be the first to hear about it all, or find me as The Practical Alchemist on Instagram and Facebook. And of course, remember to join me for more alchemy right here on UK Health Radio and the UK Health Radio podcast next time. Until then, it's goodbye from me and that nightingale.